Welcome in, everybody, as another episode of Scarves and Spikes. It is I, Tyler Pilgrim, here alongside Tommy Moose and Sydney Hunt.
And just because he's just so pumped up, doesn't it?
Yeah, let's get it going, because we've got nothing to cheer for right now. That's why I'm not even wearing an Atlanta United jersey. I'm wearing an Arsenal jersey.
Arsenal.
Yeah, so why not? Premier League starts next weekend. You got League's Cup going on. We got the Women's World Cup going on. Rest in peace, U.S. Women's National Team.
Rest in peace. I mean, they didn't die.
They're out.
I mean, their Women's World Cup dreams died. They didn't die themselves.
Rest in peace. But it feels like that. You out of the World Cup, then it feels like you're dead, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're gonna talk about a lot today. Rob Usry from Dirty South Soccer, founder of Dirty South Soccer. We've got a piece that he wrote that is pretty spot on, I think, with a lot of the things that people are feeling with Atlanta United. We're going to talk about League's Cup and the crap show that has been going on in League's Cup for the past couple of nights. But before we do anything, we have to give you guys a special thanks from all of us, because we have busted that 500 follower subscriber mark on YouTube.
Yes, it helps a
ton. We are super appreciative, and I say that from, like, for real, the bottom of my heart. Like, I'm so excited that, you know, we've made it to this point this quickly, and it's just we move, right? We keep moving up, and we appreciate it. I know
Tommy's
guys definitely dive in for sure, but just an awesome milestone, and we appreciate it.
No, definitely. 2000.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And no, Yeah, as you guys know, this started as, you know, just this show we did after every Atlanta United match on Twitter or X Spaces, whatever it's called now. We received a lot of feedback. You know, it's been great talking to Atlanta United fans, literally from all over the country, all over the world even. So that branched off into the podcast, what we're doing right now, the live stream that we do every Wednesday night. The podcast, which you can download from the Atlanta Soccer Podcast Network, or search Scarves and Spikes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, what have you. Never would have imagined that we get to 500 followers or 500 subscribers on YouTube. So, yes, thank you so much. You guys are why we do it. And like Tommy said, halfway to 1,000. So please continue to support our coverage, support our content, share us with your friends, retweet, repost, I think it's called. Spread the word. Spread the word and let people know about us, because, again, you're why we do this show. And on behalf of Tyler and Tommy, thank you so much.
Don't forget our Patreon. We've been having some fun with that as well. The watch-alongs have been a great time, and the next time we have a match, we're going to do a watch-along with Seattle in a couple weeks at 10:30 at night on a Sunday. Gross.
Maybe I'll Who thinks up these things? Good grief. On a Sunday night. people have to work in the morning. But we're planning a watch-along, and yeah, that should be fun.
Yep.
And what are we drinking? Are we drinking Starbucks that night, or what's the plan?
No coffee. Well, I guess if you want to stay up.
Oh no,
I'm going to stay up. Sure.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, this is the perfect time for. You know, we had a conversation about this with one of our guests. I think it was Keith Costigan. Is it Dancing Goats, the coffee company?
Yes, I think
that's so. Based out of Seattle, but they also, their only other location that they're in is Atlanta. So I may have to go get some Dancing Goats coffee, and that'll be the drink of choice, maybe mixed with rum or something. I don't know.
Make sure it's decaf, though.
No.
So you don't want to be up like 4 a.m.
No, it doesn't do me like that. Look, the only time caffeinated coffee hits me right is in the morning. If it's any time past like noon, I'm like, dude, I'm just drinking it to enjoy it at this point.
I worked at a coffee shop like throughout like the end of high school and beginning of college, so I can't drink coffee anymore. So I don't really drink, like, I can't do
it.
Are
you just sick of it now? You just can't look at it the same way?
I drank the same drink. I created it and I put it on the menu and the owner didn't care. But I, at that time I had an obsession with the Facts of Life. So okay. I just made a drink. I had a thing for Tootie, and then this drink was just called the Tootie Tornado. So I was a Tootie girl. It was the best drink I ever made. And I sold it and people bought it.
When you come down here, you're making this, right?
I sure.
Hey, let's go.
I'm sure I can find a way to put a little Kahlua in it now too.
Yeah.
If I go into the coffee shop that you used to work at in Ohio, I'm assuming, and ask for your specific drink, will they give it to me? Will they even know who you are, I guess, first off?
Oh, no. The FBI shut it down. That's a whole other story. But
that is a Patreon episode, ladies and gentlemen.
Patreon.com/scarves and spikes, everyone.
It was a Catholic coffee shop, which is even crazier.
Mm.
I can't imagine. My mind is going a million miles a minute right now trying to figure out what in the world happened. I like
it. It was a Ponzi scheme, but we'll get into another point.
Okay. Yeah.
That's good to know. Wow. Look, you can't get this stuff anywhere else, guys. I'm just letting y'all know.
I've lived a life, man.
Welcome to Wednesday night, Scarves and Spikes. I like it. All right. So we the next sticker that we put out, Tommy is a Tootie girl. All right, we're kicked off.
We gotta get Lisa Welchel in here, right, Tommy?
Oh yeah. Oh.
Oh. Or whoever else is on the show, I forget. That's the only one I know.
Hey, this is kind of the slogan for Atlanta United. You take the good, you take the bad. There you have the facts of Atlanta United.
Guess so.
Yeah, I mean you're not far off at all. So, all right, we can
and we move.
Yeah,
we move for sure.
Not even 10 minutes in.
No.
Nope. Yeah. Thank you to all 28 people watching right now. Like, you sticking by us as we dive into this.
500 subscribers plus. Gonna go down below 500 after a while at this rate. Anyway, let's move on.
So, all right, diving into it, we're going to talk about Leagues Cup a lot for sure, because that's kind of the thing going on right now, and it sucks because Atlanta's not in it. I will say this, my personal 2 cents on the Leagues Cup, I enjoy it. I enjoy what they're trying to do. I think it's never going to be what it should be until you have the Mexico teams playing in Mexico as well. I understand that adds a lot of logistics and travel, but you got to make it fair, right? Champions League, I mean, you're playing a home and away match. Like, that is what it is. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how the teams are doing. We're going to talk about Nashville's match last night that turned into an absolute cluster freak. Yeah, we're going to talk about all of it. But first, quick shout out to Rob Usry. I got to say thank you to Rob, just because he was the one that got me into Dirty South Soccer, got me able to, you know, write and have a platform to write about Atlanta United on, and that inevitably led to where we're at right now, which I think is great. But so, yeah, quick shout out to Rob. But also, Rob wrote an article, and we'll put it in the chat so you guys have a direct link to it. But he said, why the five stripes finally needed to stop. And that's the name of the article. If you don't understand the point behind that name, it comes off of the hashtag that they've had for a while, or I don't even know. It's really not even a hashtag. It's just been their kind of motto.
A mantra.
Yeah, their mantra for a long time now. And five stripes don't stop. That's what they put on all their social media posts when they sign a new player. You know, different portions of the season. That's what they do. That's their thing, right? Well, Rob put out a point that, like, the five stripes needed to pump the brakes a little bit, because we've talked about it a ton on this show, but you're looking at instant success, right? Back in 2017, 2018, part of 2019, really that was a carryover. But since then, the roster decisions have been very flashy as opposed to adamant and you know, doing things that you want to do to build a roster that's going to last. And it's going to have you success beyond just one firecracker of a moment. And that was the point of Rob's article talking about, you know, Miggy was good, obviously. Petey Martinez had his moments, had things that happened. He still won two trophies here, but he never came good the way that I think Atlanta United fans expected him to. Barco, another one. You know, he grew into it over time, but never really was the the amount of money. It wasn't what I think he was advertised to be, right? So
after the Olympics, he was after the Olympics, he just went on this tear. Was unable to like sustain it all the rest of his time in Atlanta. So,
and then you know, this is a byproduct of this conversation. You know, you look at Petey Martinez, Ezekiel Barco, LGP, some of these other players, and you're looking at River Plate bringing all those players back within the next 6 months, you know, in their own little bubble to play back in South America after they've came here, went to other teams, went back to South America. It's just the whole article laid it out, I think, probably in the best way, the most eloquent way you could, to talk about what has happened between 2018, 2019 and now, and what's happened in the sense of roster moves and other things, and why Garth Lagerwey is cooking, we're going to use that word, cooking the way that he needs to cook to get this team back to winning ways, not just splashy signing ways. It works when it works. It hasn't worked recently, and this is where we're at now. So,
yeah, and Tom Bogert, Rob pulled a tweet from Tom Bogert talking about the most expensive signings in MLS history. Number one, number two, number three. Thiago Almada, $60 million. PT, $15.5 million. Barco, $15 million. And then number eight, Luis Araujo, $10 million, up to $12 million. So four of the eight most expensive signings in league history have belonged to Atlanta United. And you look at this list, guys. I mean, we talked about PT. We talked about Barco. Players that can never really live up to the expectations. Araujo, same thing. Never was able to live up to the expectations placed on him and was shipped out. And then you look at other players on this list. Brenner, who came good in Cincinnati. Pozuelo, who came good in Toronto and just unfortunately fell off. Cucho, who is still having fantastic success with Columbus at this time. The point is, and we've talked about this, the point is Atlanta United has splashed so much cash toward these players, and it's not really worked out. I mean, we don't want to bring Miggy into the conversation, because how much was Miggy? Like, how much was Joseph to bring over? So, yeah, the point is Atlanta United have been throwing money at the problem and not really thinking about, okay, is this really going to solve the problem, or are these really just flash and dash signings that will get our names out there? And yeah, like I said, Rob did an excellent job laying it out, and I agree. It's a fantastic article and definitely a must read if you haven't read it.
Yeah, and you look at the year where they get Araujo right after Pineda comes in and they're trying to make the run to the playoffs. He was absolutely right. It was desperation, because this team has been at the top, and then, you know, during COVID, you go to the bottom because of Joseph Martinez getting hurt. Everybody's down. The vibes are down. You know, attendance is okay. Like, it's not great, but, or it's not bad, but it's pretty good still. But they wanted to get in. That was their thing. They wanted to get in. And you know, even add on that, you brought in a big time coach with Heinze. You had to fire him in the middle of the season. Chaos is going everywhere. Now you're just trying to make the playoffs. They were desperate. And, you know, Bocanegra and Darren Eels, when they're desperate, they make some of their worst choices. Jurgen Damm, yes, got to bring him up. Terrible contract. You know, if you want to do it short term, if you want to do it short term, cool. But they signed him long term. And then you brought Araujo in. And like, that was a last minute signing. That was a name you didn't hear about, I think, until deadline day there. Like, you were right at the end of the window. All of a sudden, you bring him on. They've made a lot of of rash decisions because they want to be able to be in the playoffs. They want to be able to be that team that's just always at the top, always the talk of the town, and it just hasn't worked out. And you see a lot of teams that are getting towards the end of a window, maybe in other sports, where they're like, we got 1 year, we got 2 years, we got to make the playoffs because we know it's going to get really bad for 3 or 4 years. It's kind of felt like what Atlanta United's always tried to do is they've always tried to make these splashes just quick to make a run, and it's hurt them. And that's immediately when I thought about reading Rob's article, is like, okay, you're just stopping, taking a deep breath, assessing the situation. You're not bringing in a huge DP in this window. You're going to bring in someone that you can immediately buy down, and you've got likely a very large amount of money to play with next season. And that's not even counting roster rule changes. If there's a bunch of fake accounts out there saying, you know, this change and this change is going to happen. But you've set yourself up just what the rules are with right now of a lot of just regular cap space and possibly 1 to 2 DP spots, depending on what they do with Almada, and plus whatever the rule changes are. So you're in a really good window. But with that, they still showed, we want to make the playoffs this year. We got 10 games left. We're in a playoff position. We need to hold on to it. They want to make it to the top four to, you know, host at least 2 playoff games. But we'll see.
I hate to draw this analogy because I'm a New York Mets fan, but it kind of reminds me of the New York Mets with their relatively new owner, Steve Cohen. I mean, Steve Cohen paid a ton of money to bring in 2 future Hall of Fame pitchers in Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer. And what did he do, or what did the Mets do at the trade deadline? Traded them both away. Verlander even last a season. Scherzer was brought in last year. And again, it hurts me to say this, but it's kind of similar. And we see it, you know, in baseball. You know, another example is the New York Yankees, you know, but maybe the New York Mets are kind of taking that billing as a team that throws money around in order to make an instant impact, and it doesn't always work, and it didn't work this season because the Mets are garbage, unfortunately.
well, to be fair, the Yankees, like back when they were throwing money around like that, they were throwing money around and hitting.
Yeah.
All the time.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, Jeter wasn't a free agent signing. He came from their farm system.
Yeah.
And eventually came up, became one of the greatest shortstops of all time. And then little supplementary pieces like Paul O'Neill, Chuck Knoblauch, Jorge Posada, you know, not these splashy signings, but these signings that gelled and made the Yankees who they are or who they were, just this dynasty team. And again, more money doesn't always make success. If it did, everybody would do it. It's how you manage that money and how you manage those resources. And the overarching point is, whether it's Carlos Bocanegra's fault or Darren Eels' fault, is Atlanta United weren't wise with the money they spent, and it's hurt them. And now the hope is with Garth Lagerwey here, you know, the hope is that the team can become more fiscally responsible and get to where it used to be as a contender in MLS.
Yeah, and I'll just stick with one more baseball thing because that's such a, what you got there got me thinking. Like, if you follow baseball, the Angels have Ohtani, who's a once-in-a-life-generation player. They went all in and tried to bring all these players in to try to make one playoff run with this guy, and they lost like 6 games in a row after that. And that feels what Atlanta United's been doing for a long time. Like, you have Joseph Martinez, right? One of the best players here. We've got to make the playoffs every single time here. Let's make that run. And we're bargaining the future. And how they did it instead was is they did these emergency signings, right? They brought in different players for long-term contracts, hoping they were the spot to get you far into the playoffs. And it hasn't worked. And it's, you hear the frustrations online about some of the things that we've done this year, but it's everything that Garth Lagerwey has prepped you for since the minute he's gone in here. He's cleaning up contracts. Yes, he's going to bring players in. He brought in 4, right? I think it was 4. This window. Like, they're fiscally responsible, as far as we know, and he's looking towards the future, right? These aren't emergency signings, right? He's not panicking. And that's what's refreshing here, is that they're not, you're not stuck long-term with some of these players. And even if you are, their contracts aren't crazy that are going to fiscally bind you for 3 or 4 years. You're going to be okay. So even if one of these guys don't hit, and one of them they brought in and just said, it's end of the season loan, this don't work out, get out of here. Look, you brought in Barry, right? Barry didn't work, but he's gone at the end of this window, or at the end of the season. So
has,
like,
to be, yeah.
Right, like he's at the end of the contract. So like, that's good. I mean, right now, I think the only really contract that people are that upset about specifically is Etienne right now. I mean, you brought him in and, you know, he was one of the biggest free agents out there. And, you know, other teams wanted him too. I mean, they were all in, and Atlanta United did what they do a lot. They spend a lot of money on the guy, and it hasn't worked out so far. And now there's already people talking about that he could be the buyout here. And that's telling.
Let me ask you guys this, talking about, you know, the fiscal status of this team. Greg Zan is making a lot of money. He's over the TAM threshold. And, I mean, let's be honest, the return on investment this year hasn't been conducive to the amount of money he's making. I don't have the exact amount in front of me, and I'll pull it up, but I do know it's above the TAM threshold. 612,500. So is that the amount of money that you want to pay him based on the level of play that he's giving you in net right now? I think that's the conversation that Lagerwey is going to have and Bocanegra is going to have in the offseason. I mean, he's a club legend. He's going to be, he's been with the club since not day one, but essentially day one. He's one of the bonds between LA United's cup winning team.
The only and one left. Today.
Yeah, the only one left. So that's a big decision that LA United are going to have to make. It's getting that part, because you're paying a guy at the back end of his, and look, I mean, nothing is breaking in at all, but he's going to be, what, 39 this in September, I believe?
Hey.
Yeah. I mean, hey. No. I mean, Tommy, you and I.
My back hurts a lot. I get it.
Tyler's a little bit younger than the two of us, but yeah, I mean.
I mean, my back hurts too, though.
No, but do you want to be paying him over $600,000? Do you want a guy in that that's producing the way he is on a TAM contract?
I think I'll just throw this out there. I don't know that I would be paying many, many people on this roster over $600,000 right now. I think we're at a different juncture in Atlanta United history. It was different in, you know, 17, 18, 19, even 20 to a degree. Nobody knew what was going to happen, right? So, but you have to, as the guy building the roster or guys building the roster, if you're going to pay somebody that much money, they have to come good. And like Joseph getting his extension and getting paid what he was getting paid, of course you would do that. Like, that yeah. makes sense when he got that. Brad Guzan, so, same thing. But
real quick, I'll give like the highest paid keepers in MLS. So Berkey is a DP in St. Louis, $1.6 million. Andre Blake, almost $900 million. I mean, whoa. One of the best keepers.
$900 million?
900,000. You guys know me, man. 900,000.
Mahomes. He's making more money than Mahomes.
Yeah, he's not that good. Gallese in Orlando, 937,000. Stephen Fry, 650. I mean, you look at Sean Johnson, 683. So you take Johnson, 683, because they had 612. Fry, 650. I mean, you would argue that only Stephen Fry at this point deserves that much money. Sean Johnson, I mean, it's not his fault. Toronto FC sucks right now, let's be honest. But yeah, I mean, that's a big decision.
He was brought in to get paid that much money, though, because he has shown he's worth it.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it.
You know, he's just stuck on a team that sucks really badly right
now. Yeah.
Is it an option here, or is it just is it fully guaranteed next year?
I believe it's both. An option. I believe it's an option. That being okay. said, option, no. I mean, we could be wrong. Yeah, if it's an option, he has to go.
If it's an option, you know, if even if they wanted to keep him, like right now, I know Carlos Bocanegra is still there, but you have Garth Lagerwey, who has no real connection to Brad Guzan, right? And maybe you have a new technical director at that point, maybe. But you can't move on with it. You know, I know he renegotiated it a few years ago because the team needed cap space. And, you know, I think that's why his contract got extended a little longer. And now we're dealing with that contract. But no, they need to move younger and more important, they need to move cheaper on that position. And you've been training these, you know, you've got a good depth of young players coming up, right? It'll be interesting to see, you know, and you brought in a couple guys, you know, Diop, I've liked what I've seen from him so far, but I think you might not see all three of these keepers on the roster to start the year next season. And, you know, it's just a part of moving on here. Now, I still think that he maybe at this point, depending on how he's feeling at the end of the year, maybe he just becomes part of the coaching staff. If he wants to, you know, because I mean, he's very good at commentating. He's very good at tweeting. But, you know, he's a motivator, right? Like, we know that he yells a lot. But, like, he's, like, you saw in his tweets and, like, you saw when he did the commentary that he's a very smart guy. And I think that his knowledge can go help players of the future down the line for this team. So if that's a role that he's interested in, and it doesn't seem like he's ready to just go home and be a dad 24/7, like he wants to be part of the league and still, like, that's how you do it. Like, Atlanta United, I'm sure, would offer him that contract in a minute.
Yeah, he's going to be involved. And I'll throw this out there just for food for thought. Clement Diop has an option for 2024. So,
Clement Diop is also 29
years old.
The twos match tonight.
I saw that, yeah. Thanks to Zilf. Zilf told me.
Yeah.
On the X.
Well, oh God, we'll get into that conversation.
Whatever it's called now.
Gray, from Gray Gowder from Dirty South Soccer, asking a really good question. What does a rebuilt goalkeeper group look like for y'all if Justin Garces is the only one left standing in 2024? We got to add in the caveat, like you just said, Clement Diop has an option. I think with what Clement Diop brings, I'm not mad if you exercise that option. I think he's got the experience. Yeah. The man, and I know we've talked about it before, and I don't feel like it gets enough credit, but Diop is the guy at the training ground every day that we're there, every day, who volunteers to line up to take penalties and free kicks and whatever else the, you know, the strikers and the wingers and the forwards and midfielders, everybody else, what they want to do, he's the one that says, all right, I got you. I'm going to go be the goalkeeper. And that's why his shot stopping is just so phenomenal compared to the other goalkeepers that are on the roster right now. And that's nothing against Westberg. That's nothing against Brad. Brad's had two injuries. People forget he got injured this year and still came back. He just hasn't looked what he was 2 years ago, which we expected,
right?
Age. And then of course the Achilles, but then you also have the MCL tear that he just came back from. I mean, like weirdly early, right? Diop, I think, is good to have because of his experience, his knowledge, everything, his work rate, everything else he brings. You keep him in some way. Justin Garces, I don't want to put him on the first team bench as a backup goalkeeper and not see time, but I wouldn't be mad, especially next year. You know, you're going to have another League's Cup, obviously Open Cup. Like, that's where he should be playing significant minutes. And I think you move up Sebastian Guerra for the twos, have him maybe be the main goalkeeper for the twos and have Garces getting time still as well. But you've got a lot. You got Nash Skoglund, like Gray was pointing out in the chat, who is again, a lot of people. That's when we talk about the stuff on the show, because a lot of people don't focus on that stuff. But the Academy's putting out goalkeepers, and they're putting out good goalkeepers. Nash Skoglund, young, he got an opportunity with the twos a while back and freaking killed it. Did great. He's got a couple of those opportunities. So they're putting out talent. We go back to the Vicente Reyes conversation. He was another one for the twos. And if you don't know, he got sold to, was it Nottingham?
Norwich,
I believe. Norwich City. Yeah. Sorry, I'm thinking of Matt Turner. he got sold to Norwich, and it looks like he's probably going to get significant time with him. So like, it's a good move, but it doesn't make the headlines because it's a twos move, right? But you've got a twos goalkeeper, national team goalkeeper, by the way, going to play for a championship team. Like, it's a big deal. Like, they're putting out talent. So it's not that you're just dead in the water at goalkeeper. It's just you're not going to have another Brad Guzan, who was everything you needed when you needed him. But you got to move on. You've got to move forward. And, you know, I wouldn't be mad at keeping Diop for a little bit, unless you can sign somebody phenomenal between now and then, and then having Garces in the background.
Just one more thing to add, too. You know, Diop, if he does come back and does end up being the starter, he's going to command a pay raise because he's on a minimum salary at this point. Yeah. So he's not going to command nearly as much as what Brad is making right now. So you're able to free up that much more money. But again, it's a lot in Rob's piece that we can talk about, dig through, and he hits on a lot of things that, you know, Lady United fans have been talking about for years. And he's not wrong, and you know, this winter transfer window is going to be really something for Atlanta United. So, yeah, I would say.
Be excited.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be seeing a lot of rumors. Like, again, I don't think that they jump. If they have, say, they have two or three DP spots, maybe they don't jump on all of them immediately. Again, because you know, Garth likes to sign in the summer. But no, I mean, you've got room to play with, and I think it's going to be a real fun winter to see where this team starts going towards the future. And you're already seeing it. Like, you're seeing them, you know, go to France, you're seeing them go to different countries. Like, it's like the Animaniacs video where they name all the countries. It's like they're learning, there's something besides South America. There's players that are good.
Another hemisphere.
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
Oh, damn. Right. Yakko taught me a lot, so let's move on over. Let's cross the ocean and find out what this whole new world of players are. It's refreshing.
Y-A-K-K-O, not G-I-A-K-O, right?
Correct. Yeah. Not that Yakko.
Yeah.
Cool. When's the third kit coming out? Just random thought. When is this third kit coming out? We've got 10 games left. I'm getting angry.
It's coming.
I'll give it 11 days. 12 days at the most.
Okay. 12 days, huh?
That's still ridiculous. That's too long. You got 10 games left. I'm sure it's the last team. It's the last team to introduce it, right?
No, I saw someone, another team was introducing theirs on the 17th. I forget who it was, but Atlanta won't be the last.
You said they're announcing it on the 17th?
Yes.
Okay, well, it's the 9th, and that 12 more days is the 21st. Whatever. I do like the Red Bulls. The Red Bulls, the hip hop.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are
fresh.
When
they did, I thought that was nice.
Yep.
Those are fresh.
I think that's what a lot of people might have wanted.
The day it gets announced, though, you got to come on here wearing your either true or not true third kit that you got from China.
I wore it out the other day, and someone like stopped. Like, oh, that's nice. And I'm like, it's fake. I don't even think this is like a real thing. And he's like, oh, like, is this like a new one that they're getting? And I go, I have no clue. I found it in from China. He's like, oh, cool. I hope they wear it.
We'll see.
Hey, guys, before we continue, I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon account, patreon.com/scarvesandspikes. We have three tiers, $1.17 a month, $5 a month, and $10 a month. That allows you to support us financially if you're led to. Like we always say, the podcast will remain free. The live stream on YouTube will remain free. But this is just another way for you to support us financially and unlock special benefits that others don't get access to, like our Discord server for Atlanta United fans, virtual watch parties over Zoom, interviews with special guests, merchandise discounts, and so much more. Again, patreon.com/scarvesandspikes if you want to get involved. By the way, if you are already supporting us on Patreon, thank you so much. We really do appreciate it a lot. And now on to the remainder of this week's episode. Do we want to talk about Leagues Cup, or you got something else?
Yeah, real quick. I'm going to hit just on something that D-Dot said in the chat. What happened to Josh Cohen? I thought Atlanta had some connection to him. I don't know that there was ever any, like, even kind of like true rumor or official connection to Josh Cohen. If you don't know who Josh Cohen is, he is the goalkeeper for Maccabi Haifa in Israel, Champions League team from Israel. So, he's an Israeli citizen, but he's from the U.S., which is beneficial in a lot of ways, right? Pretty solid goalkeeper, pretty solid guy. A lot of people last year, especially during 2022, whenever we were going through the saga of Rocco Riasnovo and the other five goalkeepers that Atlanta had in 2022, everybody was throwing out the name Josh Cohen. I mean, it wouldn't be a bad shout, but also he's playing for a Champions League team. So I don't know that there was anything official. There was nothing official. Let me rephrase that. But I don't know that there was ever really any legs to that rumor.
Yeah.
It'd be cool, but I just don't see it happening.
He's also out of contract right now. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure MLS teams will be looking to.
I mean, it's a possibility, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
he's also 30. So he's prime age, you know, for a team to scoop him up. He's not done with his career by any means. It wouldn't be the like biggest stretch for a team like Atlanta to come and try to snag him up. But he's not, Atlanta's not going to be the only team looking for Josh Cohen. Let me put it that way. There's going to be plenty of teams looking for that demographic of player for sure.
At worst, he'll be high TAM from a contract standpoint. Yeah. So I don't know what this number was with Maccabi Haifa, but yeah, I assume it'll be high TAM.
Yeah.
So yeah, interesting. But yeah, Reeb Rob's piece is great. And
cool. All right. So, and I just wrote really quick byproduct on Josh Cohen. I just think it's a cool story. Played for USL, right? Played for Phoenix, played for Sacramento. And then suddenly he gets sent over to Israel and he's playing Champions League soccer. He played against Messi, actually, over there. When they played PSG.
It's a nice story to tell your kids one day. I play against Lionel Messi.
So sick of Messi. Jeez.
speaking of Messi.
Here we go.
Well, if you're sick of Messi, turn off the Leagues Cup, Tommy.
No, it's good. Like, I understand the importance of what it is and what he's doing for the league. I understand, but it's just every time you open Twitter up, it's people hating on him. It's people loving him. It's like, all right. And then there's like people that have like never watched a day of soccer in their life. You know, I was on a work call from this guy from Miami, and I asked him, I go, how's, you know, Messi, like, how is that in the area? And he goes, yeah, I just watched it I watched MLS for the first time over the weekend. He's like, I've never watched a game in my life. And I sat down and I watched it, and that was a perfect game to watch it because it was absolutely crazy. But yeah, I mean, it's good. There's other things going on. There's cheating in Nashville. There's everything. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Perfect segue, right?
Yeah, right.
Perfect.
Cheating
in Nashville.
Gosh, my goodness. I was watching the end of the Nashville match last night. Well, not the Nashville match, but Nashville America, that match, round of 16. And I mean, I'll go through it real quick. Nashville went down 2-1. It was like, I think it was like 5 minutes of stoppage time. And Nashville gave up an equalizer, 90+4. And the match ended up going to 90+9. And in the 10th minute of the stoppage time, Sam Sturridge, Nashville's newest signing, scores on a header. Levels the match. Gio Despart goes crazy. Goes to penalties. 4-4 after 5 rounds, sudden death. America makes their penalty. Jacques Meyer steps to the spot, and America's keeper saves it. Match is over. America wins. They move on to the quarterfinals. Wrong.
Incorrect. But wait, there's more.
So VAR intervened. And it was crazy. They're like kids on the field. And Jake Zivin, Taylor Twelman were calling it last night. But kids on the field, pitch invasions. I think someone got hurt. Just insane. VAR takes a look, and they say that America's keeper left the line too early. So Mayer gets a re-kick, I think it's pronounced. I think it's how you say his name. Gets a re-kick, scores. America hits the woodwork on its next attempt, and Daniel Lovett scores. Nashville go through, so.
And then the garbage came flying. And,
oh, gosh.
Ben it Wright. Felt like it was a road game for Nashville.
So Ben Wright, who covers Nashville SC, tweeted the video and just like cups of beer being thrown on Nashville SC fan, Nashville SC players.
In Nashville.
In Nashville at Geodis Park, where Nashville fans are probably outnumbered by Club America fans. But yeah, Gary Smith is like flexing as he runs out the pitch. Just madness. And I was watching on the Apple TV broadcast. There's this lady, this America fan, comes out from the stands and right away security grabs her. But it was just chaos and just classless from America fans. Just awful. I mean, we saw what happened with Cruz Azul. Fights in the crowd. Smoke bombs going off. But just an incredible match. Just a
to be fair, match. Really quick.
Go ahead.
If there was anything that was going to piss me off about a soccer match, it would have been what happened last night. If I was a Club America fan and I saw that, I would have lost my freaking mind.
Would you have thrown cups of beer at the opposing team, though?
No. I'm never going to do that. Okay. I'm never going to. And I will say this, just putting it out there, people that do that, you suck. You need to stop. You suck. So
there's no place for that.
I'm saying it now. And you should be banned from whatever stadium and then some, probably. So
I think I read 20 people were arrested by security and national police. Yeah, which is there's no place for that. But
get out of here with that bull crap. Now, that being said, you can be angry for sure. I would have been angry. I would have been pissed. I would have yelled a lot and screamed a lot, but I wouldn't have thrown stuff. You just don't do that. That's stupid. Crazy. Welcome to CONCACAF. If you are joining in because you're a Messi fan and you decided to come watch MLS and Liga MX, welcome to the crap show, ladies and gentlemen. This is where we're at. If you watched Nashville and Club America last night, well, you've got your taste of it. You've got your appetizer.
You remember it's that almost regular. Happened? Huh? It almost happened to Atlanta.
Oh, for sure.
Remember what happened with Atlanta? Was it against Montreal that year where it was in Canada? I'm 99% sure it was in Canada. I remember walking away from the TV. I think it was like 2-1. And I come back outside to grab something and Pity Martinez is lining up
literally for a penalty. Last second.
Oh, I think I remember. Yep. I think I remember.
Montreal?
I think it was Montreal, I think.
Mm. And then he missed it. Then he missed it. Yeah, then he missed the damn shot.
Because it was the one to tie it up. They had played like a really weird game up until that point, and then the ref, I think, had actually already blown the final whistle, and then it came back, and they said, "Oh no, that's a penalty." And he got, "All right, cool. We're gonna level it. At least we're gonna come away with a point." And South American Player of the Year walks up to the spot and freaking sends it over the crossbar. And it's like, oh my God, dude, what is the luck with this team? So
$15.5 million signing.
Well, yeah. Two times we brought up Pity Martinez today.
Dude. Yeah. Yeah. We're on a roll tonight.
No, but gosh, that was insane. It was funny. I was watching, not live, but I was watching the Nerdy Soccer Guy, who, by the way, subscribes to this channel. Thank you so much. Dion. He's a Nashville fan. He'll say this watch along. I turned it on just to see his reaction. And he ended the stream right as the match ended. So his stream ended. Like he thought it was over, just like everybody else. But just insane. And like I saw on Twitter, like, oh, all this had happened after I turned it off. It's just insane. So America is out. Nashville is still in. They're taking on Minnesota, who had a relatively tame match. They blew a 2-0 lead. Went to penalties, or went out to 10 men. Sonny Dotson got sent off about 50 minutes to go. They went to penalties for the second straight time and they'll head to Nashville in the quarterfinal.
Did you hear what happened with that?
Yes. Are you talking about
the tickets?
Minnesota fans had their payments taken out too early.
Yeah.
Because wasn't Minnesota supposed to host Club America?
Correct. So like they must have had the finger like on the button ready to go, and as soon as they call the game for the penalty, they hit the button, everybody's bank accounts just get hit seconds later, and then they have to tweet out the next day that they're don't worry, refunds are coming back or whatever. It's so ridiculous. There's a guy like in charge of it, and Minnesota's Twitter guy is just amazing. Like he's been hilarious at a lot of things, but he just wrote, guys, I don't know. I send out the tweets. Very honest. It was great.
No, but they tweeted out like due to unusual circumstances or something like that. I'm looking right now. But due to unusual circumstances surrounding Nashville's win, our season ticket members were charged. So yeah, I don't know if anyone was doing it manually. It may have just been something triggered automatically that saw Nashville had lost, so Minnesota's going to be playing at home against America, but it wasn't to be. So
you know what? The odor was sitting there. He's got a button that he just presses while he's laying in bed, and he just hits it. Everybody's credit card gets charged. That's what I want to believe. That's what happened. So ridiculous.
Yeah.
Messy. I mean, the whole Miami game was crazy too. Right?
rather sus. But that's the story we're sticking with.
Yeah. That yellow guy is totally Nashville, by the way. I'm just throwing that out there.
The Miami match was pretty crazy, too. I'm talking about, pretty wild. old goal given up. Like, just a fantastic old goal. right into the net.
He wanted to score off a Messi shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody does. He scores a Messi
shot. Yeah. It's a 4-4. Robert Taylor, man. Or I'm sorry. Yeah, Robert Taylor had an old goal. Marco Farfan had an old goal too. To make it 4-4. And I mean 4-3. Mm-hmm. And then Messi with an incredible free kick. Messi doing
Do you know things. Something crazy? So I know that Messi hasn't played an MLS game, and I've been sharing it in our Discord, but like Messi is now one of the favorites for the Golden Boot in MLS.
It's insane.
Just think about that for a minute. Messi is one of the favorites to get the Golden Boot, and he hasn't played one MLS game, correct?
No, you're right. Yep. I was just thinking that too.
Not like, one game.
What if he wins?
That would be hilarious because it was something crazy. I forget the odds. It's like plus 750 now, which is that's just crazy that it jumped from whatever it was to that. It's like, and they're a favorite now. They're like a top five team to win MLS Cup.
Are you putting money on Messi winning Golden Boot? By the way,
no, not with those odds. But like right now, I mean, I've told the story in our Discord. I put $10 the day before Messi signed. And they're offering me $70 right now to cash out. Still, not one MLS game played. It's crazy. Like, just every game that he's dominating and scoring a goal, Vegas is getting more scared going, this guy's going to win it. I don't know. And it's a huge argument whether, because they could, when they get back to MLS play, they might already be in Champions League. I think they're a win away from getting into Champions League.
Two.
Yep. Then you've got the Open Cup, right? They're still an Open Cup.
Two wins away
and
from
then,
that.
Yeah. And then you go back into the season and you just start, that's when it'll be interesting to see if they win these two trophies, what do they do for the rest of the season? I think they still try to go for it because Messi has specifically said, he's told his buddies, I want to make the playoffs. But I mean, I'm hoping
to make the playoffs. If he wins the treble the first season here, after coming in halfway through the season.
My gosh. My gosh.
We're never going to hear the end of it. Ever, 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 ever. I will say this. Dallas, they did the job to a degree. Got to give them credit.
What job are you talking about? Because in wrestling, a job is like you're losing.
Well, I mean, like
jobbers are the guys that lose every time.
You bottled it could at be the both. End for sure. But you,
Messi can't play defense.
Yeah, exactly. I still love the video too. I don't know if you've seen it. A lot of the people in the chats and stuff, like where he's, you know, you got to understand too. This is soccer. This is soccer. They get ready for that free kick at the end. And there's that video showing Messi like picking up the ball and putting it down and screwing with it, and picking it back up and putting it down while the ref is over there trying to get the line, the wall situated. And Messi moves it like five times closer to the center of the pitch. And he just like puts it down. He looks up like, and then he puts it back down and messes with it. He moved it like probably a solid 5 feet closer to the center of the pitch and then freaking nailed it, which is not easy.
I've seen Almada do that, and they move it right back.
Yeah. Yeah, they're watching them usually.
Who did it better? No, just kidding. No, don't answer that.
I think who did it really good.
No, that's a good. That's
I'll throw this out there for you. Brooks Lennon in Orlando this year. That guy moved the ball. It was one of the last kicks of the game. Or, I'm sorry, of the first half. He moved the ball like a solid 7 or 8 yards closer to the goal when the ref wasn't watching, just from fiddling around with it. I was like, good for you, Brooks. I like it.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, whoever works. I mean,
they're going to destroy Charlotte.
Think so?
Oh, yeah.
Well, hold on. We're going to get to predictions later. Just hold your horses.
We're
but you're right.
You're right. They're going to destroy them. Come on.
By the way, Charlotte. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say Charlotte won because Houston like self-destructed. Aubameyang from Charlotte scored to make it 1-1 like in the 80th minute, but then like one of the worst own goals I've ever seen. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the playing to get out the bat goes wrong. We had a massive when playing to get out the bat goes wrong moment. Mikhail from Houston plays it back to Steve Clark, his keeper. He goes right into the net. And that's the match winner. Like, on the kickoff. On the kickoff. Like, not even a minute after the equalizer. Just, I mean, it's just insane.
Just so bad.
And like, Houston lost.
It just feeds so many conspiracy theories, right? Like, this tournament has been such a cluster. And then, of course, Messi coming in. Everybody thinks Messi's going to win the whole nine yards. And you look at, and then of course, like it being very much like an MLS idea, and then you're dragging Liga MX teams up to North America or up to the United States to play in it. And then you see moments like this. Now, granted, I get that this was two MLS teams, but like there's just so many weird situations in this tournament so far that have been like, dude, what are you doing? Like, if I was a conspiracy theorist, oh, buddy, match fixing would be in my vocabulary often. Over the past like 3 weeks, because there's some just moments that you're like, dude, what? You're a professional soccer player. You know what you're freaking doing. And I get it. You make mistakes, but God almighty, like some of these have been really, really bad.
Well, one of the Liga MX coaches said this is to benefit MLS. Club Leon, Nicolas Lacarmon saying, you know, it's MLS teams have a clear advantage playing in their own stadium, which I'd imagine. And by the way, there are just the two Liga MX teams left, Querétaro and Monterrey. But, I mean, you'd think that League's Cup would be played in Mexico next year. And then Liga MX is right. Just gonna, I mean, you would think either that or split it between both countries or do two legs. And, you know, inevitably, MLS is going to get trucked 2024. But, I mean, I feel like this is what MLS wanted to do. They wanted to play in the U.S. and get that competitive advantage in their own stadiums, on their home ground. So, I mean, is this coach 100% wrong? I mean, the proof's in the pudding. Like, only two MLS teams are left. Now watch Monterrey win it. It's all, and no one says a word. But
do these players go home? Like between the week or so, Liga MX, like, do they are they going home or are they staying in the U.S.?
No, I think they're here.
So they're on a field trip for 1 month, basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous at that point. Like, you don't get to go home. You know, you're staying in hotels there. Like, you just don't get a rest for a month. And you don't get to go to your practice facilities. You get none of that. And that's got to be terrible. But, you know, as this league grows, and then specifically... Where does Messi, you know, if Messi's got to go to Mexico, I mean, they don't have the greatest security down there, right?
Well, what's been the argument? Well, what's been the argument, like, around Champions Cup or Champions League? You know, MLS is playing teams in Mexico that are in season. And MLS, that's their preseason, like, latter stages. So maybe a little tit for tat there, like... MLS is trying to exploit this little competitive advantage. Like, Liga MX have played 3 matches in league thus far. MLS are pretty much almost done with their season. So, yeah, not to take this too far off track, but maybe there's something to it. And, you know, this is never going to be perfect. I mean, if she were the other foot, MLS teams will be complaining about having spent a month over the road in Mexico and their stadiums, away from their families, their familiar surroundings. So we'll have to see what this revamped tournament looks like in 2024, what changes are made. Neither side are going to want to give up too much. MLS is going to want their advantage. Liga MX and the Mexican Federation is going to want their advantage. So it's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out. By the
I think you can definitely... You could figure this out. Now, you may not be able to do it for next season, but I think you figure out a way, whether it's via points, depending on, you know, which teams or which leagues play the amount of matches compared to the other league or whatever. But there should be essentially a seeding for, if you're going to keep the layout of the tournament the same, which is group stage, you know, you play one match against each of the other two teams in your group. The home games go to the ones that were higher seeded.
Yeah. And then I think maybe there is next year.
Yeah.
I'm speculating, but.
But I think you have to include Mexico in this. And then going back to Tommy, what you were saying with the security, I mean, it's definitely a valid point. You look at Querétaro, who is in the semifinals now, or quarterfinals against Philly. They were the ones over a year ago, and we actually talked about it on our Spaces show. But that was the stadium that got absolutely overrun. Yeah. And I don't know if people saw some of the videos coming out of Querétaro during that time, but it was bad. Awful. Really, really bad.
Yeah.
And they were the ownership, they had to move on. Like, the ownership had to essentially sell the club because the Liga MX, like, heads told them that they had to. It was just really bad. And then they also had to play behind closed doors. I think it's still going on, if I'm not mistaken, or they had to move, one or the other. Anyway, terrible situation. So, yeah, I mean, like, you go down there and you're Messi playing in the middle of Mexico, for sure. That's, you're going to have to figure out a way to make that happen. But also, for the good of this tournament, which is something that MLS is really trying to push, you've got to make it happen, but also make it fair to the teams that you're playing against. Good point, Sydney, what you're talking about with the Champions League, for sure, because it is definitely advantage when you're in season, you're playing against teams after, you know, already being playing in your league and everything. Like, that's one thing. But then when you go and you look at the Champions League, where MLS is just getting started, they don't even have all the roster set really at that point. It is definitely like you give and take a little bit. This League's Cup is, right now, as it stands, definitely geared more towards MLS as opposed to Liga MX. There's always going to be that argument.
Just random thought about Liga MX teams in Mexico. So, you know, there's the chant that they do, and I remember they were playing music during the game. Do all the team, or has this, because I haven't watched a ton of this tournament, are all these teams, is this chant happening in all games, pretty much?
They didn't play the music in Houston, and you could hear the chant very audibly on the broadcast. So
it's 2023, man. I can't believe that this is still a thing, and it's just so ridiculous. All right, sorry. I had to ask. I have no one else to ask, so I figured I'd just ask you guys.
No, I mean, I feel like they should do a better job of stamping it out than playing music to, quote-unquote, deter people from playing it, but that's just me. So, yeah. Philly. I'm sorry. So Nashville, Minnesota, in Nashville, Miami versus Charlotte, in Fort Lauderdale, Philly play Querétaro in Philly. Philly have now beaten Red Bulls. That match went to penalties, by the way. Philly has now beaten Red Bulls what 11 times in a row, and Jim Curtin had some thoughts on that. Essentially called Red Bulls the little brother, and said, you know, Red Bulls talk a big talk, but you know, we've beat you 11 straight times at Subaru Park. So Jim Curtin just shooting from the hip as always.
He just needs to shut his mouth though.
Because there's one you need a villain
this year. It was Atlanta beating them after those comments.
You need a villain though. I appreciate what he does. Whether it's a gimmick or it's just who he is as a person, I think it is. That's who
another
he is
wrestling term gimmick, by the way.
Yeah. I watch way too much wrestling, man. But yeah, a heel. He's a full on heel. He's the Paul Heyman, if you didn't get that reference. But I mean, you need characters in this league for sure, and he's one of them, 100%. Like Heinze was going to be a character too if he stayed around. Yeah. But unfortunately, too many workers' compensation claims were going down, and he gets booted. But you need these personalities to make the news, right? Like you need, and I don't know. Like it's always been a problem with the NHL is they don't promote the players enough to like get people to like, you know, their superstars and characters. Like Messi came in obviously with just being one of the best players in the world. He doesn't really need that, but like. A Joseph Martinez, you know, especially early on Joseph Martinez. Like, that's what made me just get into Atlanta United so much was just because he was just such an interesting character. I'm not usually into the super cocky players and stuff like that, but he just said some funny stuff. And, like, you know, Atlanta really focused on that. And it was like, this is good for the league. You need more players like that, whether they're just great guys and, you know, they're great for the league. You know, they're great throwing, you know, tons of money into charities. Or you just get the bad guys that everybody hates, the Draymond Greens, right? The guys that you just, every time you see him on the TV, I want to punch this guy in his damn face. That's like, you need those type of players. And that's what moves a league forward is when you're able to create some of these type of guys. And I hope that the league continues to do that. Now, this league's a little bit more interesting than every other because a lot of these players don't speak English. And, you know, it's an American league. So that makes it a little bit harder. But they're working on it.
I mean, that makes it even better to me, though. You get somebody like, I mean, I know Jillian Sakovitz is not doing it anymore, but you get somebody up there on the sideline that's like giving the translations or whatever for a guy like Joseph or whoever, like a Zlatan when he was here. And I get that he spoke English, but like translating what they just said into English. And then you have to watch that like kind of awkward, man, I got to say this. I got to repeat what they just said. Those are the best moments ever. But Jim Curtin, he's just funny because like, yeah, you want the crap talking, right? You want it. It's fun. It makes headlines. It makes videos. It makes shorts and reels and all that good stuff. I just think it's funny because I mean, you had to take DC to penalties and then you had to take Red Bulls to penalties. You've scored one goal in the past two. I don't know what they did in the group. But it's not like you're just dominating right now. You've squeaked by the past two matches you've played, and now you're playing Querétaro, who's going to – they. If anybody has an advantage for a Liga MX team, it's freaking them because they're not even playing at home right now. So they're just like, whatever, on a freaking long road trip anyway. Let's go. But I'm curious to see how it plays out.
You know who's a good character for who? MLS?
Who?
Neymar.
Yeah. That's been brought up numerous times. Neighbor to MLS. I don't know. We shall see.
Would he go to Orlando? See. Like I've already seen that stupid thing. Like, now, just random question because we haven't really talked about Atlanta United because there's been nothing to talk about. I know the turf would stop a lot of superstars from playing here. I think it would. But if he said, "I will play for Atlanta." If you put grass on the field, does Atlanta completely switch from turf to grass? Because you got to obviously change it for the Falcons too. Would you spend that money to overhaul it to get Neymar here? Just a fun conversation. I had to bring it back to Atlanta United somehow. We've been talking too much about all the other teams.
Well, we're almost done.
I mean,
but it's just random.
I think you're going to have to do it in 2026 anyway. Right? Like, you've already said you're doing it. You're going to do it. And it's going to be a longer-term solution then than it was like a couple weeks ago for the Premier League stuff. If you get the right player, and by right player, absolutely, like a Neymar, Mbappe, I know Messi's not coming here now, but like, you know, whatever. No, you don't go change it for the rest of the league. But if it's between getting, you know, another Messi-esque player here, then yeah, it makes sense to change it for the long term for that. You're not going to go and change it because Messi is going to come here and play. Like, I'm going to be honest. Yeah, I want to see Messi in person, but like, if Messi is, and I don't think he is, but if Messi's too much of a whiny little turd to not want to play on like turf when he comes here, cool. That's a better chance of Atlanta winning, right?
Exactly.
Like, whatever. I don't think he's that kind of person. I do think there are a handful of others over the past couple of seasons. Absolutely, they didn't play that, and I'm not going to name names, Zlatan. But you know, that's how you want to be.
Rooney went on vacation, guys.
Yeah,
he just went on vacation. Well, there was talks that his wife was divorcing him, so maybe he was going to get divorced. But either way, he didn't play.
Whatever. Go to your job. But no, yeah. If you got a chance to sign in somebody seriously, like a legitimately like game changer player, I'm not talking about South American Player of the Year or up and coming star from whatever country in South America. I'm talking about like a guy that has done it all and been there and done that and done it again and again and again. Okay, put the freaking grass down, Arthur Blank. You got Home Depot. You got grass. Bring it over. Just saying.
Put some dirt and some seeds and Mercedes-Benz, water it, and call it a day.
Call it a day.
But, yeah, I mean, that's probably a much, much deeper discussion for another day. I think it will eventually, just as me, but maybe we'll see if the rest of the league follows suit. I mean, the discussion will be had. The discussion will be had around the league, and we'll see if that comes to fruition. But, yeah, definitely for the World Cup, it'll happen. And then I would imagine there'll be a chance that it's a more permanent solution. But yeah, much larger discussion to be had about grass and all of that and player safety. But yeah, Jim Curtin shot from the hip about New York Red Bulls, and he did what he does. Speaking of doing what they do, LAFC 7-1 over Juarez in the round of 32 and the 4-0 round of 16 over RSL. Look pretty good. Buonga, of course, in the middle of it all. And he's a player I would love to see in the Lenny in that uniform. But, yeah, they look really good. But, yeah. So, Philly. Querétaro, Philly.
That one of those goals. We just got to talk about it.
Which one?
I think it was the second goal that he scored. Where it was again, another one of those playing out of the back type situations. Mm-hmm. And you play it kind of back to your goalkeeper and you just flub it so bad.
Yeah, that was awful.
And then Denny jumps on it and does what he does. But it's just like, God, dude, the amount of like discipline that's just going wrong for some of these teams playing out of the back has been surprising.
Not as bad as the one in Houston.
Yeah, it was like a St. Louis bad thing where it was like, oh, let's give it right back to them. box.
Crazy. All right, quarterfinals, though. And by the way, we mentioned it earlier, the two finalists in the third place team automatically clinches a bit to Champions Cup. So, yeah, let's take a look. Philly Querétaro and Philly at Subaru Park. How are you guys feeling? I'll let you guys go first before I give my prediction.
For me, I'm going with Querétaro in that one. I think they've got something to prove. I think they really want to make the right headlines after last year. If you kind of follow them a little bit, like that's kind of been their story since all that happened. That was in March of last year. I remember it was the same weekend, same day, same night as the Colorado match last year where Atlanta went out to Colorado and Ozzie Alonso had that heart issue. It was early last season for Atlanta, but that's when all that happened with Carrasco, and it was just really bad. It was really, really bad. And I think since then they want to get on the right side of the PR thing, and they're going to be fighting for it. And they've also shown a lot of like fight and heart in the matches they play. They haven't like really had any great blowouts. I mean, they beat Pumas 1-0, which is great. I mean, that's an accomplishment. You take New England to penalties, you win 4-3. Now you're up against Philly, who has just not been looking great lately. Like if LAFC has bounced back from their Champions League stuff and everything else, Philly has not. And I just feel like Carrasco could pull one out and make it interesting.
Thomas?
I just want chaos. I want it just to be all MLS teams at this point. I was rooting against MLS, but I just want to see more complaining. Philadelphia wins and penalties. Penalties is like the way to go. Like last night, I'm so grateful I bought that new Apple TV. I swear I don't work for Apple, but like I pulled it up and I had all three on at the same time. Like I turned on my phone to kind of just see what was going on. All three were in penalties. I was like, oh, I'm turning all these on right now. And it was great.
I say Philly wins it in regular time. Philly don't lose at home very often. And I think that, you know, we rag on Jim Curtin because he talks a lot. but he's a player's coach, and his players love playing for him. You can tell. I mean, he'll do anything for his team, and I think players appreciate that and rally around that. So, yeah, I'm going to say Philly and, yeah, regular time. No penalties needed to advance. Miami and Charlotte, that went in Fort Lauderdale at Dry Fink Stadium. What do you guys think?
Miami
4-0.
Yeah. Moving on. Yeah, I think Miami too.
I don't know what else to say on that one. Just Charlotte's gotten, I don't want to say lucky. I don't know of another word that's in between lucky and good. That's on the luckier side of lucky.
Thank Extremely good. Fortunate.
exceptionally fortunate. I mean, They've done well for what they're trying to do. They've not looked terrible, and I'm not talking crap about them because they did beat Cruz Azul when Atlanta couldn't, and they've worked their way through Houston. Like they've done the job that needed to be done, but they just haven't looked super convincing doing it. So you're not going to beat Messi doing that for sure.
I think we're all in agreement.
Yeah,
Miami's going to win that one. Nashville, Minnesota, I feel like it's going to be the much closer one. I feel like that one could go either way. I feel like out of all of the four matches in the quarterfinals, that might be the one that goes into penalties. I mean, they have different styles. Nashville are going to have a chip on their shoulder because you talk about fortunate and lucky. My gosh. And Minnesota have won in penalties two straight times in the knockout stages. I mean, does that continue in Nashville, a place where Nashville used to be invincible, but now they aren't as invincible as they once were? Oh, gosh. I say Nashville and penalties. Nashville and penalties in that one.
I got Minnesota 2-1 in regular time.
I have Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Need some cheese.
For sure. Nashville is such a boring team to watch. I am sorry. I cannot stand watching a Nashville game.
Like, I don't know why you're apologizing for that.
No, I don't know. Like,
it's how they play.
Yeah.
Right, but like, so you talk about rivalries real quick. Like, you know, who's the team that you hate the most? Like, what is it? And it feels like it's evolved. Like, it's usually Orlando, and then there's been some Red Bull hate, you know, throughout the time, you know, and even New York FC for a little bit. But Nashville, I think, is just the team where I can't stand them. I can't stand their fans on Twitter. Some of them are just crazy obnoxious, and I can't stand the whole guitar thing. And, yeah, screw it. Nashville loses 13-0.
Can't stand their parking situation at their stadium.
You don't get cell phone coverage there. No. I mean, I already hated their hockey team. Their hockey team's eliminated my Ducks like three times in the playoffs. So, and they have like they basically had what like the soccer chants are for hockey, and it's like all country songs. They turned like all their chants into country songs. No, Nashville. No, they're out.
Okay. Yeah. How do you really feel, Tommy?
I was so mad when they got another chance to get into that game. So upset. And when, you know, when it, like they were all throwing, you know, garbage at the Nashville players in Nashville, it was just like, I wanted to just like post a GIF of just a guy eating popcorn, just going, carry on.
Every Club like, America fan is now a Minnesota fan.
Right. No, exactly.
For sure.
No kidding.
I saw that I think is an Atlanta fan that ended up going to Nashville because they were also a Club America fan.
They're right.
And just like following his tweets like throughout the whole game, it was just like, man, I don't know what that guy did that night, but it was a roll, like just a mental roller coaster for him for sure.
I bet. So, yeah, Nashville, I say. And then Tyler, you said what? Minnesota, right?
I said Minnesota 2-1 in regular time.
And Tommy said Minnesota 13-0 over Nashville.
32-0.
Oh, 32-0. He changed it.
Yeah.
Changed it.
Couple touchdowns, couple field goals.
I like it.
Yeah. This will be like the what?
I said they know what game they're playing.
Yeah. So finally, this will be the match, I think, of the quarterfinals. LAFC Monterrey at the Rose Bowl. Not at I almost called it Bank of America, not at BMO Stadium, the Rose Bowl. So that would be really
I thought I read somewhere that like as the tournament moved on, you had to have a certain amount of seats available or something like that. I believe so.
But good. Yeah, that's going to be at the Rose Bowl. That's going to be a tough ticket to get. I don't think it will be a sellout because it's a.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's a Friday night. I mean, I'm sure there'll be a lot of Mexican soccer fans there. But, I mean, that's going to be a massive match. You know, LAFC have put teams to the sword in the knockout stages thus far. 7-1, Juarez, 4-0, RSL. I don't think this match will be quite as decisive. But I think Monterrey finds a way and becomes the only Liga MX team in the field. So I think Monterrey wins in regular time.
So I think I'll get to my prediction in a second. Monterrey, I think you talk about going to the Rose Bowl. And I think if there's really any team that could play against LAFC and max out the Rose Bowl, Monterrey's one, Club America's one, maybe Atlas. But I think Monterrey.
Cholos. Maybe Cholos.
Yeah, yeah.
Not too far.
Yeah, so like that's the thing. Like Monterrey's got – they have a group of followers. You're also relatively close to the border right there. You have lots of fans. Monterrey is not at that portion of the border, but Monterrey is pretty close to the border in Mexico. If you've never seen the stadium, by the way, I'll just throw it up here real quick, that Monterrey plays in, it is absolutely gorgeous. And it's also one of the stadiums that the World Cup is going to be hosted in come 2026. But this is their stadium. It's a gorgeous. Yeah. And they have fans. And they have fans that will travel. So
yeah, if you're listening to the podcast, just look up Stadio BBVA. Yes. And you'll see pictures of it. But yeah, it's gorgeous.
Beautiful place. You have the mountains in the background. It is just a beautiful stadium. That being said, whether they pack out the Rose Bowl or not, it is what it is. I don't know. As far as the way that this match plays out, I just don't know that anybody's going to beat LAFC when they're on. And right now they're on. So I think it'll be a good game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout like it was with, you know, RSL. RSL is kind of a wild card. Like they could have sucked or they could have done fairly well, and they sucked. Juarez, I was not expecting to get beat like that, though. So I think LAFC keeps it rolling. They want trophies like Atlanta does, like, you know, a handful of other, like, they're really about that life. So I'll say 3-1 LAFC.
Mm.
Ditto. I think 3-1 is there too. I think they end up winning. Not a very stressful game. Maybe a late goal to make it 3-1, but LAC should win that.
Spicy takes. I mean, it's at the Rose Bowl. I mean, it's hosted by LEC are the host, so we can't discount that. But I mean, still, Small Tornado, one of the bigger clubs in the Gamma Key. So
I wanted to.
Yeah, I see them really looking quickly, with a win.
Yeah. Well, what was your number?
Oh, I didn't give one. 2-0.
LA.
Monterrey.
Oh. Monterrey. Look at that. Yeah. Okay. See, it's different when we're not talking about Atlanta United. I'm like, oh, that's yeah, not a pessimistic take at all.
Yeah.
Edgar saying, and Edgar again, if you weren't here last week, Edgar's another journalist that covers LA Galaxy, actually. So make sure you're following his stuff online as well. But saying Monterrey would not sell out the Rose Bowl, which I think definitely there's an argument to be had. I think I'm just curious, and Edgar, by all means, let us know. But between the fact that it's LA in there, how many are going to come for LA? How many are going to come for Monterrey? And how many just soccer fans in general in that area are going to come just because it's something to do, something different, you know? That's where I would be curious to see kind of like how the stands get packed. It's different that it's not El Tráfico. It's not LA Galaxy and LAFC again, which was, that was fun. That was a spectacle. It was a great atmosphere. I think I didn't, obviously wasn't there, but watched it. That was fun. I'm curious how the league's cut, because we've seen the atmospheres with the Liga MX fans show up and be really involved. So I'm really curious to see how that's going to translate to a place like the Rose Bowl, because that's a big, big place.
It is. It is. And maybe it's not a sellout, but I feel like still it'll be quite a good turnout. Yeah.
It's going to be Miami versus LAFC.
You think so in the final?
Yeah.
Or the quarterfinal? I don't have
to. That'd be the final. That'd be the final, right?
Oh, it would be the final. LAFC. I think so.
Pretty sure.
The way if it plays out that way, it would be LA and Miami.
Yeah, they're
opposite sides. Yeah,
we got Miami beating Charlotte, which is, I think everybody was in agreement. Y'all both said Philly over Querétaro, so then it would be Miami versus one of them, right? But on the other side, it's LA versus either Minnesota or Nashville, probably, unless Monterrey does their thing. So I don't see LA losing to Nashville or Minnesota if they make it.
Yeah. Too strong a team.
I don't see anybody really losing to Messi. But then you also have the third place match, by the way. We haven't really talked about that either, but that is another way. And that's really cool, because that it's, you know, normally you don't really care about the third place match ever. Like, it's cool, but you don't care about it. But this one, that might even be more of a banger than the actual final. Because
there's stakes involved.
Yeah. You make it to the final, you're in the Champions League. It doesn't matter. But that third place match, only the winner makes it. So that's where I think it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how that plays out.
I mean, it could go completely different than what we just said, because this tournament has been interesting. But yeah. That is our Leagues Cup discussion. And again, not a lot of Atlanta United discussion because they're not playing. But I'll throw this out there. They are playing, I think, a closed-door match against St. Louis. So that match will not be televised or anything like that. But at least Atlanta United are playing. So that's our fix, I guess, until August 20th. August 20th when they play Seattle at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be back Wednesday night, next Wednesday, 7 p.m., leading into the Seattle match. So, finally, Atlanta United first team soccer will be back on the schedule.
With lots of new faces.
Lots of new faces.
And, I'll throw this out there too, probably we're working on it. I don't know how it's going to play out yet, but we should have a pretty cool guest for you guys next week as well. So, hint, hint.
I didn't hear about this.
You did.
I mean, I figured we would have a guest, but
yeah, no, you've heard. I mean, I've mentioned it. I just don't know.
Okay. I know who it is. I know who it is now.
But do we have a translator?
Oh, that's messed up. Why you say
for
that?
For Jürgen Damm.
Ah.
Oh. Jürgen Damm is not the guest, by the way, for those of you watching listening.
That is the second to disappoint. Time you brought him up in this. Are you going for the hat trick?
No.
No.
Just settling for the brace.
Yep.
That's underperforming.
I know. Yeah. Give you a player rating of 7.5 as a result.
That's fine.
Yeah. It's fine. Fat mom over here. Yeah, no, so for sure, we got some fun stuff coming up next week. We've actually got a lot of stuff coming out here in the next week and a half or so. Like we were saying before, the Seattle match, we have the watch along for Patreon. So join us and drink your Seattle coffee or whatever it is you decide to do. Throw some Kahlua in it or get Tommy's drink that he's going to make for everybody.
The Tootie Tornado. That's right.
Because you're a Tootie girl, right, Tommy?
Yeah.
I cannot wait for this sticker. Stickers.
You know, my car was... Just real quick. So it just hit me. I forgot about this. So my first car I bought off my grandfather was a Topaz. And actually how the whole Tootie thing started is, like, when you'd go up hills, it was old. So, like, it would toot up. So I'd call it the toot. Like, when you're going up a hill, it was, like, rough. So I called it the Tootie Topaz. So that was the name of my first car. My second one was the Hoochie Honda. That was the second one. So I've gone through the names.
So another Patreon episode, Tommy's car
How
names.
I name cars.
How Tommy names cars.
Why I named my car the Hoochie Honda. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a Garves and Spikes after dark.
Yeah.
That's a early AM episode.
Yeah. But yeah, stickers. What's the deal with those?
We're going to have very soon a proper way for you guys to buy them, because we have the website coming up very, very soon. Website's almost complete. So y'all keep an eye out for that. But if you, in the meantime, if anybody listening wants them, all you got to do is send us a message, whether it's on Twitter, YouTube, if you want to, Patreon, if you're part of Patreon, because you will get a discount if you're part of Patreon. But if you want some now, let us know. We'll just hit you up and do it the old fashioned way via messages, and we will get you your stickers and we'll work all that out. But we will have an actual store coming up in the very near future.
I'm excited.
Yes.
Scars and Spikes swag coming right up.
Yep. We're building it up, guys, as best we can. We're doing our best. It's a 3-man show over here. We got this.
Yes, sir. All right. Shall we hit the music? Get out of here.
Let's roll. It's been a good time.
Yes.
It's weird.
I can't believe you said RIP women's national team, though.
Dude, they sucked. They were so bad.
Yeah.
They didn't suck. I mean, they just...
Oh, they did. I woke up at 6:30 a.m. to watch that disaster.
I'm so glad.
I've been off all week because of that game. And they didn't even do anything. Ugh.
Mentally broke you.
Yeah.
Who wins, by the way? World Cup.
I don't know. England?
Yeah. It's coming home?
I go
in. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, why not? England. All right.
You get a shot as Emmy.
Yeah. Bye.
See y'all.
Jürgen Damm.
The hat trick.